vice chair of the committee, so let's get this started. We have no agenda, and we have no minutes.
We don't have a quorum.
Is it just you and me?
Yeah.
Well, then we don't have much to do.
Chuck wanted to, you guys, I know that it was sent in an email from Megan Thornton, our assistant city attorney, about your guys' position on political activity.
Right.
So Chuck wanted to make sure that that you guys just make sure you're aware of it. Since we're back, you know,
yeah, well. I've attended those meetings regularly for
the
last
time. Okay. Yeah. You guys copies to that?
The last time I sat next to those before I was
in. Yeah. But Chuck, that was the only thing Chuck really had, just to make sure you guys are really aware of that since we're coming up on some election stuff.
Will? I'm Tom Friedland.
I'm Grant Oaks.
We're done.
How about our visitors? Let's do our visitors.
I'm sort of official here. I'm Brenda Perry. I'm city councilor and I'm your liaison.
Okay.
Oh, you are.
There's a gentleman that wants to be part of this. That his name's Bob Downing, and he's a citizen here, and I just happen to know him. And so I was asked about him. He's a tremendous guy. And I think so. I think there's a process that has to happen that they may have to even wait till after the election.
I think it's March, maybe. In March, maybe that
March?
The city council will get it to approve on a committee member, a new committee member. He's filled out the application and everything.
Okay.
So, but Kathy Molesky wasn't for sure
Okay. Exactly
how
it was going
right.
to go.
And,
but anyway, when he's just a really decent man. So I know he's interested in being involved.
So you have vacancies on the board then?
Yes.
I think there's several.
Two,
yeah. I think.
How many do you officially have right now on the board?
Five. Four. We've got five people.
Five?
Yeah. You have Arthur, Thomas, Grant, Denny, and Chuck. Yeah, five.
Yeah, five.
Five.
Mm-hmm. I think we're allotted seven.
Yeah.
Well, everybody's seven.
Everybody's seven now. So two vacancies, so. Okay.
Well, my understanding is that when you've got vacancies, that you can have those appointed right.
Well, they have to at least meet.
Hmm?
They have to at least meet.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. We have to
prove up that. Bob's filled out the application and everything, so
yeah.
He's in the process.
Yeah, he's in the process.
And our problem, or at least with, is that we have a work session the first Monday in March, but because of people being out of town, there won't be a council meeting until the 23rd, which is when we can officially notice these things.
Yeah, I think that's what Kathy was saying, and she didn't.
Okay.
So. And our visitors, maybe our visitors can.
Is the 23rd then in the middle of spring break, or is that before?
I don't know. That's where they're saying that's going
to
be the next one.
I used to know those things well, but.
Yeah, I don't know. Spring break.
It's just more the issue of. Go back to March. I think that's the start of spring break because we're going out of town.
So, what are your guys' deal?
I'm Kaziane. I'm the president of the Robin Neighborhood Association.
Oh, okay, great.
And I'm thinking about making this emergency preparedness program as a centerpiece for Robinwood Neighborhood.
Oh, okay. All right.
Can you spell your name for me, please?
Kazi, K-A-Z-I, and last name is Ahmed, A-H-M-E-D.
Okay, thank you.
And we have designated committee member Christine Steele to head up our emergency preparedness. Two other people. So we have a committee, this is a volunteer committee, where Denny is going to be represented, and Greg, you're going to be represented, and there's another guy named Peter Herring from Raoul Resiliency of Westland group, and then we have a couple other citizens, the neighbors that.
Great. All right.
I'm Greg Swanson. It's been a couple of years since I attended the meeting, which is why I went to City Hall.
I've done that too.
Yeah.
Greg was locked and secure. Yeah.
Okay.
So
it's safe.
Yeah, you're safe in there. Grant and I have conferred over quite a while.
Explain your expertise.
Preparedness. Well, expertise is eroding away, but I can do that. Yeah, it's first meeting here in the police station. This is great. First opportunity to meet you. And, and everyone else. But moved here in the year 2000. We've lived here 14 years up at Ridge Summit. And along the way, I got into nonprofit work supporting non-governmental organizations, governments, and humanitarian and mission people, lots of missionaries, with satellite communications around the world. Back when the officer assigned, who retired, I gave him a demo at one point. That was about 5 years ago. Grant, do you remember
who we talked about?
Memory Bubble, police officer who was represented on this committee.
Sure.
The former Navy guy. At any rate,
my mind's gone blank.
Former Navy.
In the last few years, I've
Ron,
been.
Ron.
Oh, Ron Schwartz.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly. Great guy.
Okay.
There we go. Got to cram
and
yeah.
After helping out with the Asia tsunami, the Haiti earthquake, Japan, much more around the world, people ask, well, what about West Lynn? Could you help here? So Grant and I have colluded off and on, sort of informally, on the Map Your Neighborhood program, which has taken some level of root here and there, but not a widespread movement through, would that be correct to say?
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah, or there at least in the neighborhood, which is where, first of all, in a household, everybody has to be their own hero for earthquakes or anything, or cyber attacks, police actions, whatever is going on. There's a lot to learn. In my neighborhood, I formed a little group, a coalition of the willing, who really have come up the learning curve in preparedness. It can be done. Within Oregon, I've been to the Oregon Emergency Managers Association Conference. I've been to various other conferences. I've assisted Multnomah County, Clackamas County, Oregon City, Cannon Beach, a bunch of other communities, but I've never been able to help out much here in West Lynn. I know there are a lot of priorities, like the police station and much more. But it came to my attention about a month ago that down in Robinwood, they're leaning forward on preparedness and a number of other things. The group that Kazi mentioned, we met for the first time about 3 weeks ago. The ROWL, Resilience Organization, includes in their charter this matter. Resilience actually is one of the definitions of preparedness, and the Robinwood Neighborhood Association. So we see the potential of another coalition of the willing, but an opportunity to publicize and promote some better awareness in West Lynn this year. I've not yet succeeded in meeting Randy Krebs, who has lots going on, apparently. Mm-hmm. There's always been something come up that bumped our meeting. So we're pushing on. And it's one of those grassroots things that you can do, as they're doing very well in Oregon City. I advise them to attend their meetings. They're kind of going to the graduate level, something called CERT Team, Community Emergency Response Team. West Lynn doesn't need to do that, but there are lesser steps that really make sense. It's all about awareness. On April 30th, I found out just 2 or 3 days ago, there is a national FEMA undertaking called the Preparathon, and it's got all the resources that any mortal could want on their website, directing you to anywhere. But then I have a lot as well, like Clackamas County, TVFR, Resilience Northwest, ready.gov, all of it. It's an opportunity for the city to get into this, and all it would really take is promotion, plus a small tiger team, and eventually, what we used to do was have disaster preparedness gatherings or fairs up at the LDS Church. It wouldn't have to be April 30th, but it's an opportunity to piggyback, to latch on to the national movement, and let each neighborhood decide for themselves to what level they would want to prepare or to keep kicking the can down the road.
Yeah, putting their head in the sand. I love the idea of publicizing and, you know, teaming up with neighborhood associations from a preparedness standpoint, because natural disasters, you know, man-made disasters, I mean, all that kind of stuff, we're certainly just as exposed to it as everywhere else in the world. So, I mean, Mother Nature just hasn't picked us yet, but certainly could. So that's and I really like the neighborhood association model. I worked in Portland for 25 years before coming here, and I was, as an officer, I was, when we started neighborhood associations, I was the first, me and my partner were the first neighborhood liaison officers in Northeast Portland. First ones in the city when we were first starting that whole process. And it's amazing how much, if you can get people on the same sheet of music and kind of a common, you know, vision or common goal, it really does work. But the neighborhood associations are the way to do it. And I mean, we can support it and we can, you know, say that it's a good idea. But when you have groups of people and around, you know, around neighborhood associations, that works really well. So.
And it does take a few champions within a neighborhood
right.
group, such as Kazi, Peter, and the others, which I'm really encouraged. In one neighborhood, there's more than 1.5 people that are willing to talk about the subject for more than 5 seconds. Yeah. It's one of those things that you can, I think, Grant, you know, that you can get excited for a few days and then it just kind of drizzles down.
Yeah.
The beauty of that April 30th date is that summer is hard for all the obvious reasons to get anyone's attention. But a short go fast campaign with the backing of the city would be, I think, very, very doable. I'm willing to help out.
For what it's worth, findings for emergency preparedness fair are underway. I'm not sure we've established the date yet.
No, I was just going to comment that PBF&R has been working on setting
sort
up
taking the lead on
a specific event. It had was postponed this last time because of some scheduling problems as far as the location and the equipment. But I don't know if we've heard anything as far as a more definitive date, other than it's in the planning within the next.
Yeah, I haven't.
Six, nine months.
To them when I did the tour, because my background, a little like pictures of these guys, I was originally an emergency room nurse, and I was also an emergency room nurse in California, where we did have earthquakes, and I was working in the emergency room with the Northridge earthquake. So very much involved in emergency preparedness, see what happens actually, you know, when you're not prepared or when you are prepared. So plus one of my goals has been as a councillor start invigorating the neighborhood associations. So we're very much working with them. And so it's like a combination of both. I understand, you know, one of the things we talked about, it's, you know, when you live in a place like California who does have quakes, they're complacent anyway. So you come in a place like this where you really are susceptible to having a big quake. Imagine how susceptible they are when they don't get reminded on a fairly regular basis. So it's hard to get people to understand.
Most people think that you'll just call 911 and get help.
Yeah.
We all know that that's not the case. I was involved in the 89 Loma Prieta quake and various other emergencies. In my presentation, I list a bunch that I've picked up over the years, things I have been around, workplace homicide, cyber attacks, which by the way go on every day. I point out to the Oregon City people that those train tracks right through their town, it could very well be some event.
It just happened just the other day, the big oil tanker that blew up in Texas or wherever it was. Mm-hmm.
Four times last year, so this is not an impossibility.
No.
And then there are things that people don't realize. I've agreed to do 10 tips for the Robinwood people. First one is simply what you do when you are out there on coming up I-5 on a Sunday or any time. The traffic stops, the radio goes off the air, you know nothing, but you're there for 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. And as in earthquakes, it's the uncertainty that starts. Were you there in the Bay Area at the time?
No, this was Southern California,
Northridge.
I was there. We were the only functioning, or the closest functioning hospital to the center. They were dragging people out and bringing them out because the other hospitals had gone down. And one of the things that did happen is the phones went out. And the only phone that we had to contact anybody was the TTY, because it was on a different stage. TTY, you know, is the hearing impaired. And that was the only one that was functioning, so we had to get our physicians phoning into the TTY because we couldn't reach them, and everything had gone down. So it was interesting. Ham radio people helped us out, and they were able to remain in contact. But it was a problem.
Well, people just aren't used to thinking from a possibility standpoint. Everybody thinks, that's never going to happen.
Exactly.
But not planning for the possibility.
And that is the issue that we've been discussing, you know, week or month after month, is that it's the motivation to the public and their ideas, and that's as far as we're getting with them. The transition from the concept into reality, whether it be a public safety announcement, whether it be working with the local grocery stores to put up some material, great ideas, but we need to work from a point of taking it from a concept and making it a reality. And as a committee, we're somewhat hamstrung because we don't have a budget. We rely on the police department as our primary source, and what are we able to do with them to get something to, present on that topic? And, that's the obstacle that we're facing.
Yeah, and Dwellers on Fire as well. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, they said they will do the fair and they will get involved. But what are the basics that people should have? What are the basics they should understand?
Water.
Like don't light a candle. Don't care how dark it is.
Yeah, shut up. There's some excellent models that neighborhoods can use. One is Grant's terrific expertise in Map Your Neighborhood. Mm-hmm. We had the fortune, it was a couple of years ago, right, with Jenny and Thomas over in their neighborhood down the road from me. They're certainly aware of this, and it's a good idea if this group wanted to run through it. I'm sure Grant could lead us through a high speed one. Oregon City has been encouraging for me. It's a grassroots, citizens-driven movement. It started out with one spark plug, and now has expanded to quite an undertaking. I've worked for 2 or 3 years now with Clackamas Fire District. I can't find any place in TBFR to plug in, but that's okay. We're over in Oregon City a lot. I simply ask people the question that something big happens, earthquake, explosion, you are working in Oregon City, your husband is working out by the airport, your kids are in school in Westland, what do? The bridges will be out of commission for weeks. And that starts to inspire people. It's putting forth situations that are personal that we've done in our neighborhood. It's usually the moms or the kids that get on board big time. And then in no time at all, they have stuff in their car that they didn't used to have, and a little more knowledge. If you chip away at it, it's not one big $1,000 project. It's just people with knowledge who, with a little bit of nagging, a little email reminder now and then, I've watched it, and it works in our neighborhood. It's working in Oregon City. It works in Cannon Beach, where, by the way, if you're going to be around an earthquake, that's the place you want to be. They are dynamite with their volunteer team. And their chief of police. That's all it is. And they've done wonders. So I would look forward to coordinating with Robin with people, first of all, as just sort of a spearhead.
That's a great way to start. If you can get them going, that's a great way to start.
Robin would.
Oh, am I saying that wrong?
You're saying Robin could.
My goodness. Robin is a Freudian slip. Believe me.
He comes from my country.
Too, right? Robin Wood. Yes,
and I heard Robin Wood when you were saying it because I just knew what it was supposed to be.
Yeah, I mean, starting it small like that with a neighborhood association, then it's a lot easier to go to the next neighborhood association and say, well, this is happening here.
That was the idea. Basically, yeah. I figured that if we could model this in Robin Wood where there's more people willing to do it, then we can take that as a success and
because you're right, you call the police all you want, even if you can get through on the phone, there's only three guys working at any one time. So we're going to be overwhelmed if something like that happens.
Just really looking
quick review
at
of
four
what's
different.
Happened, if I may, this thing, just so you know what we're up against. It's been presented to neighborhood associations before. It's been presented to individuals that are very committed, at least at the time I was talking to them. A lot of enthusiasm and the skill sets to do it, and totally unable to implement it. This has not happened. This is typical in this community with almost anything getting people involved, and I think LO is probably similar to that, where you've got a fluent community like we have some in Southern California the same way. People just did not step up to the plate to do anything because they were so cockeyed busy, and it's a difficult sell. It takes something dramatic To get a cook.
Did you guys ever, I mean, I know you were working on coming up with a bucket of supplies.
Yeah, Denny's working on that right now. We sat down and had lunch the other day and talked about some of the things we'd like to put in it. We want to have this in place by the time we have the fair.
The fair.
So
Walmart is very supportive of the police and public safety and fire. I mean, they're...
Home Depot's given us 100 buckets.
Wow. I'm just thinking of places to sell or give or however you end up doing this.
Right.
There's plenty of businesses around that would, I think, willing to support that.
Take a look at Hadley's. They're just coming into the area. Maybe they'll want to do something nice for us as they move in.
Who's that?
The ones that are taking over Albertsons and St.
Paul. Oh, yeah.
Higgins.
Okay.
Yeah. When does Ace, too?
They're great.
100 buckets here in the police station would take care of you guys in the immediate neighborhood for a few days, maybe a week.
It's a start.
But how many are we? 26,000 population.
Mm-hmm.
It really is going to be up to individuals. And Grant is right, it is a tough sell, but I do believe it would be a good thing to at least offer this information to the public and say,
what about offering it through the schools a little bit?
Well, that's what I'm thinking. You've got the four organizations you really need to involve in this. So the police, the fire, the schools, and the city hall, you know, really need to be together on this. I mean, if something happens in an emergency, kids stay in school and they have to be signed out for, and that's the safest place for them is in the schools. So they need to be involved in what's happening as well. So some sort of communication set up and things like that. So
sometimes you get the kids excited a little bit and parents just kind of have to.
Well, you know, to get this going, I figured that people don't like to come to meetings and sit and listen. You have to have some kind of activity. So I've asked my group to think about taking those boxes that they get from their family during Christmas gifts or whatever, take those boxes, recycle them, paper it, but have a party to recycle those. And then the next step is label it, you know, for emergency preparedness and give them a plan what they can do with these things.
Mm-hmm.
And then give them a list, another, you know, meeting, give them a list of things that they should think about putting it in there. And then go around, you know, asking for donations of those supplies. You know, slowly help them build it.
Yeah.
If you just tell them that this is what you're going to need, they'll never do it. But if you just guide them from each meeting to another and help them build, I think they'll all get involved.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The obstacle is getting them to the first meeting and getting them enthused about it. You said there's some event that's on April 30th. This is a nationwide event, but what's being done locally on that, if anything?
In Westland?
Anywhere in Oregon.
I don't know about the other states. I only found out a few days ago about the other counties.
And what is being done anywhere in Oregon regarding this April 30th disaster plan?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I haven't researched that.
I
haven't checked with Clackamas Fire, but they have an ongoing program all the time. So they
And that's the thing you were talking about, that would be great to capitalize on, but we don't know what they're doing. Like where we might be able to fit in. We do know where we are with the TVFNR program if and when we get a date on that. Perhaps, you know, we've got these great ideas in terms of, you know, what we can do once we get it, but we've got to get the people from whatever they're doing in front of the television set or at home or whatever to the meeting to be interested enough in doing something regarding their own safety and welfare. And that's the step that needs to be looked at and actively pursued. When, you know, getting the projects once they're there, you know, that's going to be the easy part, really. We get them, you know, a taste of Map Your Neighborhood or you know, the disaster boxes. Yeah, they're going to jump into that once they see what's going on. But it's that apathy to motivation that we need to find a way to overcome.
One of the things that we talked about, and I talked about that, the council too, a group, is doing a neighborhood association month. So you publicize it and you say, this is the month. If you don't ever go to your neighborhood association again, this month you go. So you set a month, say you set April, and then, you know, a dog and pony show is put together to go to each neighborhood association, say this is really important, you attend this one. it helps to invigorate the neighborhood associations. Plus, I think, you know, if we get out there and really push for this, that 1 month you need to turn up, you might get people there, and maybe, that's the time to do
maybe
it.
Maybe have some incentive for them to come to.
Sure. If you had a good presentation, displays, and all the rest. Mm-hmm. They've done this. Has it been 3 years now, Grant, since the last?
Not even 2 years ago. We did. Yeah.
The one in the high school. Yeah.
We skipped last year.
Do a potluck, have some food, have some something to get people there.
In response to your question, one is, in other communities, they involve people. They mm-hmm. actively seek volunteers. Mm-hmm. Here, I have always had the sense, in the 14-plus years we've lived here, that there's somebody doing something. Just stay tuned and read the Times. Mm-hmm. That's not a knock on this committee, but the police station, sure, that you certainly don't want every citizen involved with input. What they're doing down at the bridge thing, I think, is fine. But you could at least invite certain people to participate in the planning for something like that. People who've been to a lot of these events around the state or around the country, or in my case, around the world, get a little input on the planning instead of just waiting to see, mm-hmm. we'll let you know when it's going to happen. Secondly, in these fairs, people would come and they'd get interested and they would talk to lots of different folks, and those who understand, say, food supply or protection of kids or pets. There's all kinds of experts right here in the area. Mm-hmm. But never once is someone asked to fill out a card, leave your name, email address, and level of interest. That's how you find champions. Churches do it.
I was going to say, we got churches in this community that are already pretty good at that.
Well, that's a place to plug in.
Yeah.
But if there's not an attempt to capture the name of the go-getters will carry the ball in mm-hmm. their neighborhood. Mm-hmm. This is what I found. There are some that are all for it. Scheduling meetings is hard, but they'll come to a fair, they'll buy the backpacks, the go-kits for their car, and then they'll start evangelizing it. And that's why I think the folks in Robin Wood would be a great trial of how this might work in any neighborhood that would even, say, go beyond the boundaries of West Lynn with a little bit of press, a little bit of publicity, and any needs that you guys might have.
What is your plan in terms of time in moving forward with this project?
We have already started this
okay.
project. So we have a committee. That
right.
So next month, after neighborhood association meeting, we're going to get the people's names and addresses mm-hmm. and get them together for a meeting. And the way we want to go about it is we take one street at a time. I have organized my street where there's three gentlemen that are interested in doing mm-hmm. this. And so we will try to find members in each street and call them street captains mm-hmm. and basically let them do it locally. And you know, if we have a committee that's a support group for to support them from going from one meeting or one gathering to next.
Okay. Well, that's what I'm asking is you have a committee and you have this plan
right.
that you're going to take from here and move down, and that's what I'm asking is, what is the process you guys are looking at in moving this forward? And so the goal is to slowly, street by street, accomplish at least getting some people involved with it.
My street is already mm-hmm. going with this. So they'll come as a witness to our next meeting. Mm. And then we will recruit other people at the neighborhood association to come up with another in their
what type of numbers do you have at your meetings?
In my neighborhood association.
When you have your neighborhood association meeting?
The last
good.
One was 47.
Okay.
Yeah, they have a good attendance. Plus, we've got a neighborhood association president's meeting in 2 days. So we'll be talking to pretty much all of the rest of the neighborhood association presidents. And we can float this at the same time. Mm-hmm. Mm.
I know that there are some neighborhoods that you don't even hardly get five mm-hmm. people together, mm-hmm. but Robinwood is mm-hmm. very active.
Mm-hmm. And the thing is, with your setup, you've got it in place, you've got potential people to contact, and the material is there, you're looking at getting it ready, and that's kind of the bigger problem that you have when you're looking at it on a citywide or a larger scale, is that We've got Map Your Neighborhood grants ready to put it out, but it's getting him to them and then being able to go on to the next step, whether it be the bucket supplies, but not having that structure lined up ready to go. And that's, I think, part of the problem we've had, is we get ideas, we get, you know, moving, and but we don't get it shoved further. And you guys are moving forward on it, which is great.
I started this whole process back in November. So slowly, one step at a time.
That's short time for something like this.
That's pretty fast.
Yeah.
I just, you know, if I were to call a meeting and hope that everybody comes, mm-hmm. never happened. I actually went and visited with people. Mm-hmm. Plug in the, you know, seed in their ears and let it grow. They thought it was a neat idea. I said, come on to our next meeting.
I'm not faulting that. I'm saying that's very good, and I think it's something we should be looking at to potentially model other options on. But again, when we're trying to do this at a higher level, getting the support from the city, we need to be in a position to provide what they're asking for, what we want them to have, as opposed to just, you know, if we get a couple of good public safety announcements or something tied into one of the stores that motivates somebody to look and follow up on it, then we need to be in a position to provide that response, that support. And
is there another car that can go with 3-SAM-1? If not, I can clear it.
You know, there's plenty of people. I went from one neighbor to another, they're just busy. But once in a while, you run into somebody who thinks, oh, it's a great idea, they have nothing better to do. So you suggest, you know, mm-hmm. ask them to get involved, and then, you know, if you ask them to get involved, they'll say yes, but never show up. So you constantly keep going at it,
Yeah, Oregon City.
That's the kind of champion you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Oregon City and Cannon City have snowballed. They're undertaking it slow snowball, but it mm-hmm. grows. And part of it is simply finding out who really has an interest in it, who understands the importance, may have time on their hands, and bringing them into the team. Oregon City is organized like a business. They have a little marketing team that's formed, business development to go out to businesses and find support. They've got various committees already formed, and probably about over 100 people now. And this is in the space of 1 year, mm-hmm. who are the hardcore. But it seems to be growing with an enthusiastic leadership. And I think if the city council and this committee were to keep putting little reminders out about the importance with the help of tidings and our gas bill and things like that. Mm-hmm. Same thing could happen in West Lynn. It may be a different demographic, but we'll never know if we don't try.
Yeah.
Do we have anything in place within the department now, a contact person that is the go-to person on a regular basis?
Well, Randy Krebs, like he's the emergency preparedness guy.
Mm-hmm. For the city?
For the city. He works out of the PD. We don't have any officers specifically. I mean, mm-hmm. We can always get officers or myself to a community meeting or to a neighborhood association meeting, and I'm happy to go and talk about and share my support. The difference, like I was an Oregon City cop back in 83 to 86, and back then and today, they're a busy department. Mm-hmm. You know, they had a good stabbing the other day. I mean, they've constantly got stuff going on. And so people that live there are more aware that I should be prepared. And, you know, Cannon Beach, well, everybody's worried about a tsunami. Here, people leave their purse in the car and leave it unlocked and think that that's just totally fine until somebody steals it, which is pretty rare. Mm-hmm. It's the struggle of getting people past the idea that it can't happen here.
Well, about a year ago, I did that prototype PowerPoint, narrated PowerPoint that talked about disaster preparedness, and it went nowhere. I don't have my computer, I can't run it for you tonight, but you know, it literally, what I did was with just some scenes from just some disasters over history, and very brief narration, was simply making the point that it certainly can happen here, and whether it be a snowstorm, whether it be an earthquake, whatever. And you know, it ran, I think the timing on it was timed out just about 60 minutes or 60 seconds, and we gave it to the committee. I don't know what happened to it. If anyone even bothered to do it.
One of the things we can certainly do with something like that is through the Facebook mm-hmm. or Twitter accounts, mm-hmm. there's a fair following of the police yep. departments. I'm not sure what city council has. I'm sure they've got something the same kind of deal, but we can get something out that way. Even here in the PD, mm-hmm. we've got a place for literature, and we've got that video screen. Mike Francis puts that kind of stuff
up. What I did with
this
was it directed back to the Map Your Neighborhood program. Mm-hmm. And it was one thought to get the motivation. I don't know if you got any feedback from anybody on it. I sent it in to, I think, Chuck and copied all of you guys. And the next meeting, nobody even kind of acknowledged that it existed.
I'd like to get a copy. We're working without a real plan. Okay, and we've been sort of flying by the seat of our pants for a long time.
Well, having city council involved is, I think, a big step.
In the start, mm-hmm. we made a presentation to the council a year ago. Denny and I went up there and talked and got an enthusiastic response.
I'll send the PowerPoint out to you guys again.
Now you actually have somebody here, which is nice.
I need email addresses.
And I will be turning up. Yeah, I figured that. And I will be turning up. So I think one of the things maybe to address first of all is, you know, when people say, yeah, you know, what might happen here? Sort of some examples of what an emergency might look like in Westland. And that maybe will get people's attention a little bit more.
Well, I guarantee you one of the things that could easily happen here is a slide. We've got big hills with big houses. It happened in Southwest Portland where several houses, you talk about gas lines and all the stuff that goes along with that. We had that happen a couple different times when I was working there.
Like 4 years ago.
Yeah, maybe six, but maybe longer than that now. But we've had it in my career. We had a couple different big slides that involved multiple homes, and no one was ready. You know, the fire department wasn't ready. The police weren't ready.
Silvernary.
Yeah, that was one of them. And then there was another one in the Southwest Hills, a big one.
Well, we had it here, 1996, the flood.
The flood.
And
yeah.
then the very next year. Ice.
Yeah.
Everything was iced up for days.
Yeah, the ice, yeah, you look even like back to 78 when we had just a crazy ice storm with, you know, ice this thick on everything. Every power line went down. I mean, it was a deal. So that's another, I mean, any of that could happen here.
Fire?
Yeah, fire. There's, we've been dry.
The list of possible threats or risks is much longer today than it was 20 years
ago. So I think people have
cyber attacks can shut down the power grid. We know that they've tried.
Right.
The incident down in San Jose. In my presentation, I've got about 30 things that you can roll through that get people's attention.
PGE's very worried about that. I have a buddy that's he's the head of security for PGE, and they're doing all kinds of things, but they're way behind in trying to protect against not only cyber attacks, but just somebody going to some of these big stations and shooting up the transmitters.
It's
just
sabotage.
Yeah.
And ice storms and the like. And people think they can just call and square things away. And they're going to be surprised. There is a way to communicate with these gadgets if things go well. It takes about 1 minute to read the article. And I've found people are willing to do that. If you mm-hmm. shoot them with a little one tip every 2 weeks, which is what we're doing here with the RAL group, after a while, they get in the habit.
Let me run something by you. This is something that we're just getting ready to start here. Excuse me. We're going to be setting up a deal where police officers are going to be contacting every business in town, in person, walking in, and getting... One of the things we struggle with here is emergency contact information from businesses. So day shift and afternoons, we're going to be breaking it up into areas, and we're going to actually physically go in and sit down with people and get information on emergency contact. That might be a good time to really talk about something like this, or, you know, have a handout to kind of start people thinking, because we really are going to be going into every single business, and all we're looking for, well, two things. An email list a group email list that if we get tips on crime that's happening around us, some type of fraud or whatever, we can send out a group email. So we'll have that group email for all the businesses in town. And then the nighttime emergency contact information when they don't lock their door or there's a fire or a pipe breaks, because we don't have a good setup for that now. What we do now is we find a door unlocked and we go in and we start digging through paperwork until we find somebody to come lock the door. So that's a project that we're getting ready to take on here. In the next couple months, we want to start it. We're getting ready to kind of figure out the best way to approach it. But there isn't any reason why we couldn't talk about emergency preparedness at the same time. And even if we don't do a lot of talking about it, we will have a group email list that the PIO will manage. We're only going to have one person that manages that list so that we start sending tips out, or we start sending information out, or sending flyers out. Please post this flyer. We're also going to be giving them our, hopefully, Twitter stickers and Facebook stickers for the police department so that we can get more followers as we contact these businesses. So this might be a good thing to piggyback onto this project, because even if we just don't tell them initially, we're still going to have the email list of every business in town is the goal. So just keep that in the back of your mind as we move forward, because I think, you know, the businesses, they've got some sense of, you know, some of them have alarms and different things, but most of them don't. So they've got some sense of preparing for emergencies, but maybe we can get them to be more involved in this as we move forward.
We've got a great handout that we give you right now that's been published by the state. It's called On Shaky Ground. I don't know if you've seen that.
I have seen that. That's a great handout. That is a good one.
We've got a bunch of them.
Well, let's do this. And can you drop, do we need to get some reprinted, or?
They're available through Clackamas County. They're also available through Salem. Publish those things. I'm currently keeping this stuff at home, and I told her I'm going to bring everything that I've got at home, and I'm going to bring it down here.
Don't bring the 100 buckets.
No, I haven't got the 100 buckets yet, but I do have, you know, a lot of
literature we could store here.
That's right. Yeah, well, we need to centralize this kind of stuff, sure, because it's under my bed.
Yeah, that's... Well, I that would be as we go in to get this information, that could be one of the things we're taking with us,
right,
is this, you know, and just let everybody know that we are, in collecting this information, we also want you to know that this is also an effort to get better prepared as a city, business-wise, for an emergency.
Exactly.
And so that, I really like piggybacking that onto our project, because really the project is starting for two reasons. I want cops inside businesses talking to people, because that lets them know we care. I want that email contact list so that we can make a broadcast email, right, when we get a certain type of a tip on a crime, or this is a bad guy that's passing checks in our city. And then the nighttime emergency contact information, so it doesn't take us so long when we have a pipe break or a fire, we can contact people quickly. So...
I will get back to you on that.
Okay.
Do you have the safe house? Do you do that program here? Do you know what I mean by that?
I do know what you mean, the sign in the window. And, yeah.
Right, because that's a way to get people involved, particularly parents and other people. I don't know whether you guys are familiar with it. You get checked out thoroughly, and then you put a notice in if a kid needs to go to a safe place.
The yellow sign.
They've got the sign.
The thing here is... It's the demographics here. Most kids around here know if they get off a bus and there's a problem, they can run up to any house here. We're like, you go to 125th and Division and that area around there, you start driving through those neighborhoods, you'll see those signs, because people take that serious. And kids know, don't run up to just any house. So that's not something that's taken off here at all. In fact, I don't think I've ever seen one here.
Map Your Neighborhood program has a safe house in each neighborhood. In fact, two of them. You've got a gathering place, and you've also got a place where kids in the disadvantaged, invalids or whatever can meet.
That
program has all these things.
It has, but I don't know if that would work in this city. And let me share with you something. When I started this back in November, I started asking people to come join me and talk about this. And a lot of people would say, oh, I don't, you know, it's a good idea, but I don't want to be involved. And so I started asking, what is the hesitation? I don't want my neighbors to know everything about my house. I don't want them to know what I have.
Privacy
is
a big,
because if there was an emergency, they'll be coming looking for those things in my house. Mm-hmm. I don't want that. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a hesitation. Mm-hmm. And so if you, I mean, in big cities, this having safe houses works. But here, people are quite comfortable, and they don't want to take responsibility of other people's children.
Yeah.
That was never an issue with the Manfred neighborhood program. That has worked well. Because in a disaster, everybody's in a bucket.
Oh, yeah. In a disaster.
It's a secondary component of the program. It's
right.
Not the primary.
Right. Right. It's just a part of it. And the problem is getting people to understand that we have a potential for having a disaster, not just an emergency.
Right.
But we have a potential for a disaster.
We do. And the thing is, when they learn about all these, if it did happen, they will have to take responsibility. Mm-hmm. You will find that maybe I ought to wait before I make this decision. So I'm saying, let's not even go there until they're already in.
Mm-hmm.
Then you ask them.
Do that with people that are already,
exactly,
they bought into the program.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But if you put out certain information that would cause hesitation, you're better off not to even bring it up.
You got to get them in the first place.
Exactly.
Well, the neighborhood program would be something once you've got your neighborhood on board. Then that's when you present that. You don't bring it in first and do that. And the whole idea behind that is when somebody takes responsibility for it, they go out and gather everybody together and say, then we're going to have to sit down and have a meeting and we're going to look at this kind of stuff. So it's not a first thing that happens. It's the result of the legwork that you're doing right now or somebody else's taking it. And we've had people done it very successfully, and we've had people that just have not been able to pull it off, whether it was them, which I suspect is what the real problem gets back to, that I'm going to have to go talk to people. Mm-hmm. You mean that's what I have to do? I can't just push a button and make this thing happen. So you understand how that works.
And the other thing is, you know, once you have the street by street, if you have people getting together and they're interacting with each other, they're more open to taking on certain responsibilities.
Well, there's another thing that we can do, the police can do, is when we get, you know, like even with the flyers you're talking about and your neighborhood association, I can detail guys to say, okay, in this geographic area, I want you out of your car, knocking on doors, handing out this flyer and giving this flyer to people in this area over the next 2 weeks, for example. I mean, we can do stuff like that. The thing about police work here that's so much different than big city is we have time to do those sorts of things. And we have a lot of young, aggressive, hardworking people that they'll see that as another way to serve. I mean, we really do have some idealistic people here that have the right idea of public service. So that's another thing we can do. We can get out of the car if we're handing something like that, it doesn't make it more valuable, but they think it is because it's coming from some sense of authority. So, I mean, we can do some of that, too. There's no reason why we can't. That's not, you know, we can't do anything like that politically. We can't do anything.
Right.
But this is about safety. Taking care of our public.
Yeah.
Yeah. But let's, we've got the next, in the next 2 months, we have our shifts change April 1st, where everybody.
It's appropriate.
Everybody switches into a new shift. So I'm not going to start this until I know who's on day shift and who's on afternoons. But once we get to that point, that's going to be a good time to start this gathering of information from all the businesses. And I will make sure that we work into that, the distribution of this information. And once we have that email list of all the businesses in town, then that's another avenue for us to get out, hey, we're having this fair, could you post this flyer in your business, that kind of stuff. So that's, I mean, I think that'll help. And the city website, they're happy to put this kind of stuff on there too. Tidings is great. So, yeah, I think that's a way to get more people interested.
Okay, well, our next meeting, at least according to what I've got on the schedule would be March 23, which is the Monday of spring break. I know that's the week of spring break because I'm going out of town the following week.
It's a Monday?
Huh?
It's a Monday?
Yeah, Monday the 24th.
I will have a council meeting.
See, that was the problem before when we had these meetings, is that our council liaison couldn't make it because they had a
council meeting.
So that's where, I don't know.
Do you always have the third Monday?
Could we change it to a Tuesday? Then we don't have any issues.
Yeah.
With that, I don't know how you guys...
I don't know how they go about changing the meeting dates.
I think we have to decide
as a group
to change the date.
Because that was been the problem.
I could see we could do it on a one-time occasion without any issue.
Yeah.
I don't know what you've got going on the 24th. I've got nothing at the moment.
I'll be here.
You sure?
I think so. I'm checking.
You just sent out an email to the group to see if they can meet on the 24th instead of the 24th.
First, I'd have to play.
And if there's any objection to it.
I've got court scheduled, but...
That should be over by now.
It will definitely be over by the evening.
Unless they find you in contempt and in prison.
Yeah, that hasn't happened yet.
Should we check into getting it changed to Tuesdays or what?
That's the week of spring break.
That's the week of spring break.
Yeah, see, I'm good on the 24th, no problem right now.
No.
I have most of my meetings on here, so.
Well, interesting enough, that month has 5 Mondays.
Mm-hmm.
Yay, that's always fun.
Well, I know I'm gone on the 5th one.
We could bump it up 1 week.
I'll do it on the 16th or whatever. We're going to leave on the 27th.
Oh, you won't be.
So I can't get this back to my month. So, I mean, it's at the 30th and the 16th. If you stayed on a Monday, if we offset
it. I'd rather do it sooner than later.
You want to see if we can meet on the 16th then?
Let's see what our illustrious leader has to say then, too. Yeah.
16th's fine with me. Doesn't bother me a bit.
What are we going to do here?
Can you send out an email?
Yeah, that's a goal. I try to work an afternoon shift as much as possible.
They can work.
So I'm going to try to be here as much as possible.
Okay.
Yeah, in lieu of the 23rd.
Never had anybody.
And perhaps.
They can actually make something happen.
The 24th.
Well, they actually showed up twice in a row.
Another option. But our
this is my second one.
On Monday.
And I'm all right with 16th too. Right now. But I'll block it then, so.
Yeah, 16th of March we're talking about.
That would be the Monday.
Okay.
That's
so, Monday. Do you have my phone?
Yes, ma'am.
Just I'll take one of your cards, too, so I put it in my file.
I better check, but I'm sure I do.
Thank you.
Small print.
Kazi, you have all my contact information.
So, Monday, March 16th, or... Tuesday, March 24th, is that what you're saying?
Keep it to the Monday if you can.
Yeah, Monday the 16th.
Make that Tuesday as undesirable as possible. And then, do you have an email? I don't know how you pronounce your name, I'm sorry. If you want to scribble on the back?
No, it's very easy.
Okay.
I have President RNA.
We have a request.
President RNA. Like,
okay. President.
Met with the
President.
LOG.
They get there.
The who?
RNA. No dots, no periods, nothing.
And the
okay.
One word, the President RNA. At gmail.com.
Okay.
Basis, and the Robin will agree, and the all the Sarah.
Yeah, I mean, I've never been to any of the meetings.
I've
know about
a couple
it.
Things to do when I get home, but I'll try and get
they,
that
we
PowerPoint
talked,
thing off you tonight.
Okay. You want to officially close?
Down the road.
Yeah.
So it was agreed at the meeting.
Okay, close.
Yeah.
It's the worst. Some of that's been looked at, but you're talking about on Maple Street speeding up Kenthorpe?
That is a lot of it. Kazi?
Yes.
Do you know which is do you know which trouble with the truck then passed on Kenthorpe?